Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hey, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Mary Walter, sitting in the Liberty University studios in for Todd. Apparently, Todd was out partying all night. You know, because Todd's a partier. No, it's great to be sitting here in the seat for Todd, and I love when I get to do it because I love this audience, and you know I appreciate it when you jump in and you join me, and we're going to be talking about the midterms coming up, so just want to give you the number, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Now, Grace has done a spectacular job with this show, so coming up next hour, we will be joined by Congressman Guy Reschenthaler out of Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about the FBI raid on Trump. We're going to talk about the border crisis. And I also want to talk to him about the midterms coming up, because Pennsylvania has a problem. And all the Republicans need is one seat. They just need to keep what they have. Just keep what you have and gain one more seat. The bar is really low. And I don't know if they're going to make it. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, next hour, Jason Miller, he's the CEO of Gitter. And Facebook and Twitter and all those other social media platforms have just announced their new censorship rules going into the 2022 election. They did it in 2020. They're going to do it again in 2022. So we're going to talk to him about that. So let's talk about the midterms. And again, I welcome your calls, 844-747-8868. This is going to play into the midterms, and it's a new poll that was released by Gallup. And what they found is that more of millennials and Gen Z Americans identify as independent than as Republican and Democrat combined. So the vast majority of those under the age of, like, say, 40, 42, under that, are not joining the Democrat or the Republican Party. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I kind of think it's, I personally think it's good, probably because I am unaffiliated as well. I've never declared an allegiance to a party. I have been tempted, but I have not done so. So I don't believe in parties. I believe in candidates. I believe in people. And I have voted across the spectrum in the past, because I try to pick the person that I feel is best for the job, not the party. So that's just the way I look at it. But I wonder if this could shake out to not be such a great thing. On the other hand, politicians are going to have to work harder to win the middle. They're going to have to work harder to win the independents. I don't know, making our politicians work harder, I kind of dig it. The poll found that 52% of both Gen Z and millennials identify as independent. Only 21% of millennials identify as Republican. A millennial is up, like, it's somewhere between 22 and 25 and up to 40 to 42, somewhere, depending on who you listen to. It's in that age range. So those people are, only 21% of them identify as Republican and 27% as Democrat. I thought I'd be a lot more Democrat. So that's interesting. Also, 17% of Gen Z, which is anywhere from like 9 to 24, somewhere in that age range. I don't know what 9-year-olds have in common with 24-year-olds, but I don't make these rules. I don't know who makes these rules, but I think it's kind of ridiculous. But okay, I'll play. So 9-year-olds, only 17% of them identify as Republican and 31% as Democrat. And it makes sense. The younger you are, the more liberal you are. When you grow up and you start working for money instead of just grades, you start working and you start paying taxes, your view of the world tends to change a lot. Unless, of course, you don't make a lot of money or you have a ton of money. I think those two ends of the spectrum are, you know, kind of gel together. According to Gallup, historically, Americans, as they get older, become more likely to identify as a Republican or a Democrat. You say, okay, I'm picking a party. That's it. But currently, that's changing. Currently, 44% of Gen X, which is only 41 to 57, there it's like a tiny little sliver, is Gen X. Again, I don't know how they make these designations. So, 44% identify as political independence. That's unchanged from when they first entered voting age. That's pretty much stayed the same. So they are the first generation coming up that is not affiliating themselves with a party as they get older. The majority of millennials, 52%, and that the majority of millennials are independent, 52%. That percentage has increased by 5 percentage points in each of the past two decades. So millennials, who maybe when they were younger joined political parties, are now moving away from them and are becoming independents. The data also reveal that each younger generation has had a greater proportion of independence throughout their lives than the prior generation did, even at similar stages in their life. 44% of Gen X, again, the 42 to 57, 41 to 57 group, that currently identifies as independent is 10 points higher than that than the 34% of baby boomers who said they were independents in 02 when they were aged 38 to 56. So about the same age. So what does that say about politics in this country that people are moving to independence? I'm just curious what you think that says. And you know, if you've joined a political party, why? I cannot vote in my state because I am what they call unaffiliated. My state doesn't have an independent category. They only have Democrat and Republican. That's it. And if you are independent, you're just what they call unaffiliated, meaning you don't have a home. They tried a push here to get an actual classification of independent. That would be a third choice. You could choose Democrat, Republican, or independent, and the state squashed it. Because I live in a very blue state, and they don't want to think that anyone could possibly not be a Democrat. So I just thought this was so interesting because independents figure more and more and more in elections, and it makes sense because there's more and more of them. And I think that if the Republicans don't jump on this, they're going to be behind the eight ball on this. 844-747-8868. Now, speaking of the midterms, Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee Chair Sean Maloney did an interview with the New York Times earlier this week. And he said in the interview, you'll find broad agreement in our caucus from the conservative Democrats to the most progressive that we have a likability problem. And I think he's right. Although, because I will tell you, and maybe it's because I've gotten older, but when I was a kid, when I got my first paycheck, and I think a lot of you've had this conversation, right? You get that first paycheck, and I went to my dad and I said, okay, well, what's this? What's gross and next? I didn't understand why there were all these different numbers, but my paycheck was the smaller number. And so he sat down with me and he went through my pay stub and he said, okay, this here is for people who don't save enough money for retirement. This here is for because people can't save enough money for retirement. This here is for people who don't save enough for healthcare when they get older. This here is, and I'm like, wait, I have to pay for those people, for all those things for those people? He said, yes. And I said, well, okay, but that's okay because I'm going to get that when I get older. He said, it's probably going to be bankrupt by the time you get there. And I just said to him, well, that's not fair. And he shook my hand and said, welcome to the Republican Party. So I think a lot of us have had that experience even when we were younger, right? So what he says here, so Maloney's saying that the Democrats don't do a good enough job reaching out to Americans in areas that have not benefited from the global economy, which is middle-class America, right? If you're super wealthy, you benefited. Listen, we all benefited during the Trump years. Most of us did. People had jobs. I don't have a job since Trump's been out of office. I lost my job last year and during the pandemic. You know, so I lost my job. But when Trump was in office, I was making more money than I ever made in my entire life. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a function of Trump, but in my industry, in the radio industry, when times are good and people have money to spend on advertising, the station makes more money. Hence, everybody makes, you know, we get raises, we get more money. But when the pandemic hit and, you know, restaurants were closed and businesses were closed and people didn't have the money, the advertising dollars dry up and people lose their jobs. That's the way it is. So yeah, I kind of give Trump credit for me making a ton of money when he was president. Maloney said that I think most of the voters think we're out of touch. They think we're elitist. They think we're better than they are. And now I get that vibe from Democrats, absolutely. I think they've gotten more so as time has gone on. He also talked about the unpopularity of the word Latinx or Latinx. So I don't even know how to say it. It's gender neutral, so you don't say Latino or Latina. And only 2% of Hispanics use that word. They don't like it. He also criticized liberal media hosts like Chris Hayes. He said, the fact is that if you listen to the way people speak on our cable news channels, it's not the way my neighbors talk. That's not the way my family talks. Liberal policies are falling out of favor with Hispanic voters. We know that. But the question is, can the Republicans pull it together by the midterms? I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the Republicans pulling it together by the midterms. Remember, Republicans have to win one seat. One seat in the Senate. Now, they'll probably win the House. That looks pretty good. But the Republicans can trip and fall just before the goal line and lose the game. You know, the Democrats tie their shoelaces together and they try to run anyway, and off they go when they never think of checking their shoelaces in the next game. Republicans can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory at every turn. I don't know if they can make it to November without falling spectacularly apart. And there's a couple of different sources that tell different stories. 844-747-8868. Can the Republicans do it in November? Do you think there is a Republican senatorial candidate out there that can actually flip a seat to Republican? And I just look at what's going on in Pennsylvania with Oz and Fetterman, and I just shake my head. And I don't understand how Donald Trump endorsed Dr. Oz. I get that they're friends. I get that they've known each other a long time. I get that Oz supported Trump all the way through. But that doesn't mean that you give your friend a job for which he or she is not qualified. And I'm kind of surprised Trump did that, because he's a businessman and he hires people and fires people all the time. He puts the best people in the job. Look at The Apprentice. He fired plenty of friends on The Apprentice. So why would he endorse Oz? Doesn't make any sense to me. And that is just falling apart. All right. James Carville chimes in on the Republican Party. And I think he makes some good points about their ability. Mitch McConnell sounding the alarm on retaking the Senate. So we're going to talk about that coming up as well. 844-747-8868. And we have Congressman Guy Reschenthaler, hard name to say, joining us coming up in the next hour. We're going to delve into this with him even more. But I want to get your thoughts on this coming up on the Todd Starn Show.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, normally $89.98, now only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, have a cool, crisp feel, and these come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show. If you're just joining us, I am Mary Walter in the Liberty University studio, sitting in the seat for Todd. He took the day off today. Speaking of Todd, I have to tell you about one of Todd's favorite sponsors, Life Change Tea. They are having their big summer sale. You buy three, you get one free. So this summer, why not make a commitment to feel your very best? Life Change Tea is an amazing, natural, gentle cleanse that you can use daily for optimum health, gut health. Todd drinks it every day. It is the right combination of 12 herbs. It comes in three great flavors: natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. Life Change Tea has been around since 2007, and it is made right here in the good old U.S. of A. It is easy to brew. You keep it in your fridge, and you drink it daily. It's summertime, so you'll always want to have a big glass with you. That's why Todd drinks Life Change Tea daily. Go to GetTheTea.com to order yours today. Use the discount code Todd10 to get an additional $10 off plus free shipping. That's over $50 in savings. That's GetTheTea.com and use discount code T-O-D-D and the number 10 for an additional $10 off plus free shipping. Don't miss out. Also, a little public service announcement. I will be on the Sean Spicer Show on Newsmax TV today, doing the company quiz. So I'll be on from 5:30 to 6 o'clock Eastern time. I try to do everything Eastern time, and then we can all do the math in our heads because we're so used to doing the math in our heads. So between 5:30 and 6, I will be on a Sean Spicer Show today on Newsmax TV. And one last thing. I do have a podcast, a weekly podcast. We just did a new one last night. You can find it on YouTube if you search for Mary Walter Radio. And it is also on Getter if you just search for Mary Walter. Speaking of Getter, the CEO of Getter, Jason Miller, will be joining us in about an hour, a little bit more than an hour. 844-747-8868 is my number. Talking about the midterms, Charles from North Carolina, listening on WSIC. Charles, you're on the Todd Starn Show. Hello.
Hey, Mary, thanks for taking my call, and good to talk to you again. Mary, getting back to the midterms, last night I watched on Tucker Carlson how it appears that Republicans have fallen behind in polls in various states,
yes,
such as Arizona, such as Georgia, such as Pennsylvania, as you alluded to. And this is happening when you have a president that has some of the lowest poll numbers imaginable. A guy has no coattails. Nobody likes him. But yet, the Republicans seem to be losing these seats, if you believe the polls. So let's just, for argument's sake, let's just take them on face value and say they are. Here's what I think needs to happen. I saw an ad for Dr. Oz yesterday, and it was about as weak as you could get. It showed him walking around in the in a grocery store picking out heads of lettuce and salsa, and it like I said, it was weak. And this guy is running against somebody, John Fetterman, that looks like he could be holding up a homeless sign off the exit ramp of an interstate. And he's behind this guy. What they need to do is to get aggressive. They need to start running ads on inflation, immigration, and crime. And show,
yep,
whether it's an incumbent, whether it's a challenger, show that person's picture with Joe Biden. And you go after them relentlessly. And one of the best things, Mary, I think they could do right now, look what happened last week. Somebody, some Republican needs to come out with an ad saying if they're elected, they're going to vote to repeal that Inflation Act. And at the same time, how about run an ad showing IRS agents breaking down the door, pointing an M4 at somebody's head at the dinner table? Something like that is what's going to take. Is what it's going to take to trigger Republicans and independents to go vote for the Republicans and throw these Democrats out. But they've got to get aggressive. They cannot play nice.
Yeah, so true. I agree with everything you said, and I saw it happen. I blame the national. The national GOP is so weak. Do you remember the last time around, and I remember in New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli could have beat Governor Murphy and should have beat Governor Murphy, and he was not the strongest candidate, and I think that's part of the Republicans' problem. They don't vet and they don't choose strong candidates, but they don't support anyone, and I think, who was running, was it Larry Elder who was running in California? They didn't come and support him. Not one Republican went on the stump with him. Not one Republican showed up to a rally with him. You know, what is wrong with the national? They don't want to spend any money until after you win, and then they'll help you out. I guess they think it's a waste. I guess maybe they're just so used to losing that, you know, this is their operation. It's the status quo. And I blame Mitch McConnell for that. Mitch McConnell has got to get out there, and he's got to put people in line, and he's not. And the party is a mess, and I fear that they're not going to win the Senate, and they're going to squeak by in the House. I really fear that that's going to happen, and it's going to get worse the closer we get to the midterms. So
yeah, and Mary, we should be picking up 40 to 50 seats in the House. We should pick up maybe 4 to 5 seats in the Senate. And Mitch McConnell, you know, damn it, Mitch, start listening to your voters. Listen to the people that have put you and your party in power, and stand up and fight instead of caving. If he's not going to do it, then by God, we need Donald Trump or somebody like that to step forward and endorse these candidates and give them.
Charles, I don't mean to be rude, but we got to go. The music's playing. Thank you so much for the conversation. I really, really, really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. More coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Mary Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes in the Liberty University studios. Coming up in about half an hour will be Congressman Guy Reschenthaler out of Pennsylvania. We've got a lot to talk to him about, especially the midterms and what's happening with Republicans in the Senate races. It's just a disaster. And why? 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 And also, in about an hour, we'll speak with the CEO of Getter, Jason Miller, on big tech announcing all of their censorship rules to keep elections safe ahead of the midterms. I don't buy any of that at all, so we will speak to him about that. Let's do some news, shall we? Let's do some news. So, you know that the judge yesterday, Judge Reinhold, he was the magistrate judge in Florida, who gave the okay for the feds to raid Mar-a-Lago, right? So he signed that. It was an August 5th warrant for the August 8th raid. Now, he ruled yesterday that he wants the FBI to make public with redactions the DOJ motion to seal the warrant and the affidavit. So because everybody wants to see this, we're going to say, okay, what's the underlying documents that made them do this? Like, what is the reasoning for this raid? Because it's not just Republicans who are outraged by this, but there are Democrats who have been vocal and some have been very quietly, you know, to the side saying, ooh, this is not good. This is not a good thing that was done here, especially when precedence has been set in the past with both Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton regarding having confidential documents in their home. And we know that Trump was cooperating with the archives, National Archives. And so what are they looking for? Like, what's happening here? Now, of course, now the judge indicated that he may partially unseal the affidavit itself. So the previous court order sealing these records, the affidavit and the warrant, and the criminal cover sheet for the search warrant, the DOJ motion to seal those, he wants to make public with redactions. Now, he may partially unseal the affidavit itself. So there's other papers. It's not just the warrant and the affidavit. There's a cover sheet, a criminal cover sheet, and some other things, some records that they want redacted. The judge said, I find that on the present record, the government has not met its burden of showing that the entire affidavit should remain sealed. He ordered that the government shall file under seal its proposed redactions along with a legal memorandum setting forth the justification for the proposed redactions by noon next Thursday. So he gave them a week to redact what you want to redact. The judge said in court, I am not prepared to find that the affidavit should be fully sealed. He said there are likely portions of it that could be made public without doing any harm. Now, the DOJ had told the court, their lawyers said that the DOJ does not object to unsealing other materials filed in connection with the search warrant, whose unsealing would not jeopardize the integrity of this national security investigation, subject to minor redactions to protect government personnel. Here's the thing. We've seen this play before, right? Am I the only one who's seen this play? Because I'm pretty sure we all, the whole country, saw this play before. Just some people didn't pay attention because it was a really long one. They did that. This is Russia hoax part two. It's the same thing. It follows the same pattern, right? You get the leaks. They're leaking. The FBI and the DOJ are leaking to the usual suspects. New York Times, Washington Post, right? You get the leaks that they were looking for nuclear secrets. Trump took nuclear secrets to Mar-a-Lago and he was going to sell them to the Chinese. You know, that's what we heard, right? So they're leaking. This is what they've done time and time again. And we're starting to see it again. And then what are they going to do? They're going to keep all of this hush hush. This is going to go on forever because they want to take it into the midterms, because they want to make anyone associated with Trump unelectable, number one, because they saw what happened in the primaries where his candidates, 98% of the people he endorsed, won. That's a big deal. So the Democrats are playing the long game. They went back to the original playbook and they're doing it again. So when this is redacted, it's going to be a sheet of black paper. There's going to be nothing you can see. And the only thing that you can see, the only thing that they'll allow to be seen, are things that the media, their friends in the media, can construe and twist to make it look like Trump's a foreign spy. It's exactly what it's going to be. When Adam Schiff comes out and tells me that we can't redact any of this, remember, we can't show this because people are going to die. That's what we were told with the Russia investigation, that if Trump redacts this material, people will die. It's going to put agents at risk, and on and on. And they put it out there, and none of the stuff that they said was going to be in, was going to be shown to the American people, none of it was in there. So it's all it's the same thing over and over again. The chief of the DOJ's counterintelligence and export control section, named Jay Bratt, said, in this case, the court has found probable cause there's a violation of one of the obstruction statutes and that evidence of obstruction would be found at Mar-a-Lago. He argued that the affidavit contains substantial grand jury information, but he said it's open, it's in its early stages, and that the DOJ, he claimed that unsealing the affidavit serves no purpose. It does not edify the public in any meaningful way. But yet, a lot of major outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, the AP, New York Times, Washington Post, Washington Examiner, all argued that they have to unseal it. And you've got several people saying, look, this is one of the most significant events in our nation's history. Like, people don't understand the gravity of this. But the DOJ is fighting the redaction. So you have that. You also have Trump. We also now know it was an FBI agent who authorized the request for the search warrant. We don't know his or her name. That application for the warrant was made by a special FBI agent. This document was made public yesterday. It also shows that an agent, possibly the same one, authored the affidavit. The identity of the agent, as I said, was redacted. And Trump says, you know, he declassified FBI Crossfire Hurricane materials in January 2021. He noted, he posted on Truth Social that in October 2020, he wrote on his Twitter account, I have fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax. And he added to that, likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal, no redactions. Trump on Thursday, yesterday, made a reference to a memorandum that he issued January 19th of 2021. And we've heard about this, that memorandum declassified, quote, certain materials relating to the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. But we know that the Biden administration has chosen not to declassify that. So Trump declassified a bunch of Crossfire Hurricane stuff that clearly they didn't want out. And he gets to do that, whether they like it or not. But now they've chosen not to do that. And I put on my tinfoil hat, and I wonder if they were afraid that he had some of that information. He had some of that Crossfire Hurricane stuff, and they were a little worried about that. So we'll talk to Congressman Reschenthaler about that as well coming up, because, you know, it's affecting Americans' view of the FBI. You know, it helped bump Republicans up after the raid. Like, the percentage of Americans who are interested in the midterms, Republicans especially, their interest increased after the raid compared to the numbers from a week before. Their interest in the midterms went up. And why more Republicans aren't interested in the midterms is amazing to me. But a lot of people aren't paying attention. But you have an Rasmussen poll that shows that 53% of Americans don't have a favorable view of the FBI. 44% say they trust the FBI less after Trump's home was raided. That's a lot. 44% said the raid affected their view of the FBI. Before the attack, 50% of Americans had a favorable view of the FBI, but 46% say they view it negatively. The poll asked this. This is a Rasmussen poll. They asked people what they thought of Trump's former advisor Roger Stone's statement that says there is a group of politicized thugs at the top of the FBI who are using the FBI as Joe Biden's personal Gestapo. 53% agree with that. 53%. That's up from 46%. And that's not just Republicans. Democrats have a strong approval of the FBI. 63% believe that they are doing their job lawfully. So you can see the difference there. So we'll talk to Congressman Reschenthaler about that more coming up. And, you know, I'm curious if you want to jump in. 844-747-8868. Your view of the FBI. I mean, has it changed? And when did it start changing? My view of the FBI changed. I never had a favorable view because a friend of mine years and years and years ago had a run-in with the FBI. And when I heard what they did, I was like, wow. I was shocked, but it really opened my eyes. And so I have been very leery of those big government agencies for a really long time. Just based on what my friend told me. He said, if you ever run into them, don't say a word. Get a lawyer, don't say a word. Nothing. Doesn't matter what they tell you, don't say a word. He doesn't trust them as far as he can throw them. So there's that. So has your opinion changed? 844-747-8868. I'm just curious. Coming up, some news about Biden. Some, you know, and part of this is weird, and I'll tell you why coming up. Florida and voter fraud, and also shuffling the chairs on the Titanic, also known as the CNN network. Yeah, big news there as well. I'm Mary Welter, in for Todd Starnes.
Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Todd Starnes here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, and the NAACP's sinister agenda. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum and Vodi Bakum and Chad O. Jackson. Pre-order it today at salemnow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, August 26th at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
If you're just joining us, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Welter, sitting in the Liberty University studios for Todd, just catching up on some news. Joe Biden went back to his Delaware beach house. Now, he was vacationing on Kiowa Island in South Carolina. And, you know, Jill Biden tested positive for COVID. So she, I don't know, I guess she's in the White House. I don't know where she is. But instead of going back to the White House, he is now going to his $2.7 million summer home in Rehoboth Beach. He spent a couple of nights in his other home in Wilmington, Delaware. It's good to be king, ain't it? So he went from Wilmington, Delaware to the beach to the house in Rehoboth. He was at the White House briefly to sign the we called it an Inflation Reduction Act bill. It is none of those things. Here's the thing. First of all, he was not planning to go there. And I know this because my husband's a pilot. And when the president is going to be somewhere, they put up, you get notices, pilots get notices weeks in advance, days in advance, when the president's going to be in a certain spot. He just got the notice last night that that Biden is going to be at their Rehoboth Beach house. So this was not planned. this was a very quick thing that they put up. So this was not planned, but for some reason he's going there. And I just think it's because it's election season, so they have to hide Biden, right? It's hiding Biden season, so they've just got to hide him. They'll shuffle him around from home to home. Here's the thing, though. That house, $2.7 million summer home, you and I are paying to put a protective security fence around that house. Now, the man is incredibly, insanely wealthy, right? Millions and millions, tens of millions and millions of dollars, right? And the big guy, he's got payments from all over the place. So he's not wondering where his next meal's coming from. Neither is Jill. But we're going to pay almost $500,000 to put a security fence around his $2.7 million summer home that he has been to five times this summer. Contrast that with President Trump, who got his paycheck, paid the taxes on it, and then donated it back to the government. Do you think that if this was Trump's home, that he would be having us foot the bill to put a fence around Mar-a-Lago? I don't see that happening. But Biden, yep. So in September of last year, DHS awarded a $457,000 contract to a company to put the security fence up. Now, that price has now gone up, thank you inflation, to $490,000 and change this summer. So between in a year, it's gone up from $457,000 to $490,000, and they don't care because we're paying for it. That just made me so mad. Construction of the fence began on September 21st last year, and it's expected to be completed June 6th of 2023. I have no idea what kind of fence this is, but I know a guy who could do it much faster and for much less money. And besides, didn't Nancy Pelosi tell us that walls don't work, right? They don't keep people out. If a big, huge wall at the southern border won't keep people out, how do they expect this fence to keep somebody out of away from Biden? Florida is charging 20 people with voter fraud in the past elections. They had illegally cast ballots in recent elections, with the majority of cases coming from Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties, all Democrat strongholds. They were disqualified from voting because they were either convicted of murder or sexual assault, and they do not have the right to vote. So they are also updating, they're keeping all records of 2020 elections from Florida. They're preserving all of that information in case there's any kind of investigation. And they're also going through voter rolls to clean them out. So good for Florida. And then last but not least, sure you saw it, Brian Stelter and CNN are parting ways. Now, I never like to gloat over someone else losing a job. I don't gloat at someone else's misfortune. I really don't. I don't think that that's right, because it can happen to anybody. Happened to me last year. It can happen to anybody. And I just think it's bad karma. So I don't like to see someone lose a job. However, Brian Stelter's show was called Reliable Sources, and which is a joke, which is hilarious. In August, the show was down 41% among the adults aged 25 to 54, which is the demographic. If you're younger or older, advertisers don't care about you, apparently, for whatever reason. Because if you're over 54, you have no money and don't buy things. That was compared to the same month last year. So in 1 year, his show was down 41%. For the year, his program dropped 26% of its total 2021 total audience. 34% among that key demo. 2022 was also the lowest rated year for Reliable Sources since before Trump took office. Here's the thing. CNN, MSNBC, some of these other liberal outlets, The View, they have staked their reputation and their claim on bashing Trump. That's what they've done. And without Trump in office, they don't have a whipping boy. And CNN never reported news, right? They've got a new CEO, Chris Licht, who has put an emphasis on news. And I've noticed, and I've even talked about how every now and then Jake Tapper stumbles into actual news reporting. He actually asks a tough question of a guest, of a liberal guest. And so because they're trying to stop the bleeding, CNN is in the toilet. They really are. Brian Stelter, I kept seeing on Twitter that he left and took both of his viewers with him. But if he's being laid off because he wasn't performing in the job, I understand it. I get it. And if you don't change your program, if you don't change that when the ratings start to go down and you don't address the problem, that's kind of on you. It's his show. It carries his name. So it looks like CNN, this new CEO said he is opposed to liberal opinion programming that they've become known for, and he's putting the emphasis on news now. I just don't know how many of them can actually do it, how many of them can actually report news. Stelter was very close with the former president of CNN, Jeff Zucker. Now, even though his show was about media and reliable sources, he ignored the Epstein scandal. He ignored a judge banning MSNBC from the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. He missed so many big stories that he just didn't report because they didn't bash Trump or the left. So that's what happened. So sorry about that. I feel badly for you, Brian, but you didn't change it when you could. Coming up, Congressman Guy Reschenthaler will be joining us on the FBI raids, border crisis, and more on the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm Mary Walters, sitting in for Todd today. He decided to have a nice, long weekend. I am sitting in the Liberty University studios where Todd usually sits. I can feel his greatness. I can feel his presence all around me. Coming up later in the show, we are going to be joined by Jason Miller. He is the CEO of Getter. He'll join us in about half an hour. But right now, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman Guy Reschenthaler. I almost had it right. Out of Pennsylvania. Congressman, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Marion. Please just call me Guy.
I intend to. Thank you. That last name is, thank goodness you don't have a lisp. Could you imagine if you had a lisp trying to say Reschenthaler?
it would be game over in the political world. But luckily, we just got all the signs are Guy, all the shirts are Guy. It's very clean, very simple.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I like it. I like it. Let's start off. We're going to talk about the midterms because I was talking about it earlier. But let's talk a little bit about what is happening with the economy in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this Inflation Reduction Act. It really was the Green New Deal that they got passed under the guise of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Right.
And I guess my question, we can go into some of the specifics about it, but the question I hear over and over again is, if Republicans take back the House in the midterms, and we're going to talk about what you guys are doing with the Senate, dear Lord, if you take it back at the midterms, are you going to repeal this horrible tax and spend bill?
Well, we will. But remember, what the Democrats are doing is they're using any means necessary to effectuate the Green New Deal. They're doing it through regulation, where they're incrementalizing the Green New Deal. They're doing it in bits and pieces with all these bills, trying to piece together the Green New Deal. What it really means, though, for the average American is you're paying a lot more money to heat your home, to fill your tank. And a lot of the money is being sent to China because when you subsidize things like so-called renewables, windmills, solar panels, all that technology and all the rare earth elements, for the most part, that's required to make those comes from China. So we're sacrificing our own energy independence and our own industry for that of China, which is going to lead to slower economic growth as well. And I should mention that while we're doing these Green New Deal incremental changes through all these bills, the Chinese are bringing on coal-fired power plants. They're bringing online nuclear power plants. We're doing none of that. So it's going to be much cheaper to manufacture and live, frankly, in China because of low energy costs, which is going to further disadvantage us.
Yeah, absolutely. And but this is the thing, like people feel it in their wallet. And so it brings me to the midterms because this dovetails for me into the midterms. Look at what is happening in Pennsylvania for the Senate.
Right.
Dear Lord, this is your state. I understand that President Trump is friends with Dr. Oz, and I get it. And I realize he's a dear friend of Trump and he supported Trump. Was there really no better candidate than Dr. Oz? I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying he's got the name recognition, which is great. But he's somehow, you know, wrestling with Fetterman. He should be, the Oz should be up by 10,000 points. I don't understand it.
Well,
what are you doing?
Two quick points. Oz was the only one in that race that could have gone toe-to-toe with Fetterman, and here's why. I've been saying that Fetterman's totally underrated. He has a star power around Pennsylvania. He unites these burning bros with working-class voters who wrongfully think that he's one of them because they see him tatted up with a beard, wearing a hoodie, riding a Harley, and they just assume that he shares our values. He does not. So to overcome that fundraising ability, to overcome that celebrity, we really needed Dr. Oz. Any other candidate we would have put forward would have been even further behind in the polls. And it's a little bit of revisionary history to go back and say we should have picked another candidate because Oz is the only guy that can beat Fetterman. I think that ultimately Oz wins this race by a slim margin. Remember, Toomey only won by 1 or 2 points each time he won that Senate race. It's Pennsylvania after all. And he's going to do it by exposing the Fetterman hypocrisy. This is a guy that wants to release one-third of all prisoners in Pennsylvania. This is a guy that wants to have the Green New Deal and right. totally eviscerate the natural gas economy we have, particularly around Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania. And don't forget that he wants to eliminate private health insurance. So this guy's way too radical for Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, Mary. Yeah.
No. I get that. But my question is, and we had a caller ask this question earlier, and I think and it's a question everybody's asking. So why is he talking about buying kale in a grocery store? Why is he not? And the ads are terrible. Where is the national? I think that the national GOP, they did it to Cittarelli when he was running. He could have beaten Murphy. The national was nowhere to be seen. They did the same thing in, I think, Larry Elder in California. The national was nowhere to be seen. Where's the national in Pennsylvania taking hold of his campaign? You need to win one seat in the Congress. The bar is low. Why isn't the national preventing Oz from getting in these ridiculous, you know, matches with Fetterman? Just going back and forth. Why?
Well, look, we're grossly being outraged. And that's all across the board with the Senate races. Fetterman, for example, is raising money hand over fist, and it's largely through low-dollar donations. The Republican donations, in terms of low-dollar donations, are way down. It's because our people are feeling the pinch of the economy. So that $20 you might have sent to Dr. Oz or another candidate, that's going in your gas tank or that's going to pay your grocery bills. The Democrats, remember, are the party of the woke, the yuppie. And they view political donations as we would view tithing. So it's not uncommon for them to have a continual payment going to various campaigns. It's how Beto O'Rourke is still raising so much money because people just have to set it and forget it. And a portion of their paycheck every month goes to Beto O'Rourke. And they do it just like to Bernie Sanders and to Fetterman, et cetera. It's a problem. We got to get our base accustomed to low dollar donations if we're going to overcome the Democrats. I think there's also a lack of leadership where you have people just surrendering these seats. I still think we can win Georgia. I think we will win Pennsylvania. I think J.D. Vance will win Ohio. Remember that leading into a lot of races, the polling has always shown us down. And we ended up winning the races because polling is also skewed. So I think that there's going to be a lot of pundits that are surprised come the day after the election when we take back the House with 35, 45 seats maybe, and we retake the Senate by winning Georgia, keeping Pennsylvania, we'll keep Ohio, and then we'll pick up with Waxall out west. So I think that people are going to be surprised. But look, the environment is bad, Mary. I don't mean to keep interrupting.
I get that. But here's the thing. So, and I'm sorry, we have a set amount of time with you, and I want to get to a lot of things. But here's the thing. You know, we don't have enough money. Nobody wants to hear that. Here's the thing. People don't. I don't donate to the Republicans because the last time I donated to the Republicans, they spent more in mailers back to me asking me for money than they did with that money. I basically funded mailers back to me because I got far more in mailers back to me asking me for more money than I gave them. That's number one. Number two. Nobody wants to donate to a party that they view as a losing party. Republicans, I say it all the time, snatch defeat from the jaws of victory with alarming regularity. They always manage to trip just before the goal line. Democrats do well with what they have. My feeling is stop asking me for more money. Prove to me that you're going to actually do something. Prove to me that you're going to take... You know, they've got people. You can't tell me there aren't people already employed by the National that they can't send to Pennsylvania to whip the Oz campaign into into shape. Pick two seats, Georgia and Pennsylvania, whatever, and go all in on them and win. That's the problem. Nobody wants to support losers.
Okay. Two points. Number one, we as Republicans keep fighting the battles of yesterday. This is no longer the party of the 1990s or the early 2000s. This is no longer the party of Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan and the like. This is really President Trump's party. So we keep getting compared to the Republicans as old. I can tell you that over 50% of all the House Republicans came in with President Trump in office or on the ticket. So he's remade the party. So we got to stop comparing ourselves to the days of Boehner and Paul Ryan and the rest. This is a very dogged, tenacious party. And you're going to see that with the new crop of candidates we have. As far as the Oz campaign, look, Fetterman has a lot of star power. The way you cut against that is you do it with a massive effort to expose his hypocrisy. You only get there when you're buying TV and radio ads and digital ads. I know that sounds cynical, but that's just the nature of the beast. In any business could tell you, a national business, if they're not advertising, they're not selling products. It's the same thing with candidates. The Democrats have the ability to be on TV, to be on radio, to have that online presence because they've got that constant source of funding. We unfortunately don't have that. We're building it with WinRed, which is the online donation platform. But it's going to take time. The Democrats were genius in starting that program, I believe 7 or 8 years ago. We're now catching up, but we will catch up. And again, the environment is horrible. If you look at even Democrats, they're saying that we're on the wrong track. Biden is upside down, meaning his unfavorability is higher than his favorability. So we are on the verge of having a huge red wave. The naysaying will not help. We've got to get out and support these candidates and start attacking the Democrat candidates, not infighting amongst ourselves.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But you've got Mitch McConnell just yesterday saying that the GOP may not retake the Senate. He said, I think there's a probability, a greater likelihood that the House flips than the Senate. Senate races are different. And then he also says, though, in April, he said the political environment looked like a perfect storm for Democrats to lose the chamber, but Republicans could screw this up. He said. He also said you can't nominate somebody who's just sort of unacceptable to a broader group of people and win. We had that experience in 2010 and 2012. But to your point, I agree that the party is changing. And there's a lot more young people like yourself who have come into the party who are independents, who are not Republican affiliated. They're not Democrat affiliated. And you got to win them over. And I don't know that Mitch McConnell is the person to do that. And that's got to change. But he's not going anywhere.
So Mitch McConnell has been wrong before. Remember, this is the guy that wasn't getting behind President Trump. President Trump ended up winning, even though McConnell said he wasn't, and turned out to be one of our best Republican presidents ever. So he's been wrong in the past. Also, you don't hear Kevin McCarthy talking like that. When you hear Kevin McCarthy talking, it's we're going to pick up a lot of seats. We're going to have this agenda. We're going to have this new commitment to America, much like the contract to America. We're going to be rolling that out. That's a visionary. You don't want to come back in your football huddle and have the QB start to say, oh, well, gee golly shucks, we might not win this. If you would have caught that pass, we could have done this. We would have had a better line move. We could have maybe stopped those. No, you don't hear that. The QB, the leader, which Mitch McConnell is, should be upbeat, positive, and giving guidance and vision to the party like Kevin McCarthy is doing in the House. It's unfortunate. Yeah. But look, it's up to the senators who they have as their minority leader.
Right.
I can tell you, I'm very proud that we've got Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and others that are moving forward and taking the fight to the left, not being negative and dragging us down.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Guy Rushenthaler, thank you so much for your time. I didn't even get to ethics and Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, and insider trading. Didn't even get to that. Didn't get to the Trump raid. This is, I think the midterms is just a fascinating conversation to have because the question's being asked by so many people outside of the Washington, D.C. bubble. And I really appreciate you tackling that and your honesty. And good luck, everybody, in the midterms. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Mary. Take care.
Have a great weekend. Coming up in about about 15 minutes will be the CEO of Getter, Jason Miller. And we're going to talk about those midterms and about TikTok and Facebook and Twitter and their censorship game that they will be playing again. This is why the Republicans can't sit back. All coming up on the Todd Stern Show. Walter sitting in the Liberty University studios for Todd Starnes, getting a long weekend. So we were just speaking with Guy Reschenthaler out of Pennsylvania. And it was interesting because one of the things I didn't get to talk to him about was about Democrats violating the federal ethics laws with stock transactions. And I just want to quickly go over this with you because I think it's really interesting what we have here. And this happens all the time. And this is what drives me crazy. I'm not sure it drives you crazy, too, because we're held to the standards that they're not held to. And it drives me nuts. Four Democrat House members may have violated the federal ethics law known as the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012, which is stock. They always come up with a nice acronym. I swear they picked the name so it has a good acronym. This is according to Business Insider, which did some research. And Business Insider found that House Democrats, Josh Gottheimer out of New Jersey, Mary Gay Scanlon from Pennsylvania, Susie Lee from Nevada, and Brad Schneider out of Illinois, have all failed to adequately disclose their stock transactions within the allotted time required by the Stock Act. Okay, so because the Stock Act, listen to this, they have to submit a periodic transaction report within 30 to 45 days of stock transactions over $1,000 that either they made for them or their spouse. Okay. The threshold for reporting is $1,000. Lawmakers do not have to provide the specifics of the trade, but only a broad range. Like, their ranges of how much is crazy. It's like $1,000 to $500,000. You made a stock transaction in that range. The report by Business Insider showed that Gottheimer and his wife, in November of last year, exchanged up to $15,000 worth of bank stock, was reported by Business Insider that the disclosure report was filed August 13th of this year. It's almost a year later. It's not even close to 30 to 45 days. Like, I could see if it was 46, 50. Okay, I get you by like 5 days. If I pay my taxes a day late, I'm getting hit. Almost a year late. His spokesperson said, when our office was notified of this exchange on August 10th, we filed immediately. You were notified of this a year later? Every month I get something from my financial guy. I get a report every month of all of our transactions that he has made on our behalf. Every month. Are you telling me they don't have a guy? I'm sure they have a guy who does this. This is such a lame excuse. Same thing, and he wound up paying a $200 fine. Oh, okay, $200 fine. There you go. Scanlon, same thing with her. The disclosure report was filed the day before Gottheimer's was, almost a year and a half after the deadline for her. She paid the late fee. There was two instances with her, also almost a year past the deadline. Same thing with Schneider, but they all filed either August 12th or August 13th. They filed the correct paperwork. And that makes me wonder why. There aren't coincidences like that in the real world. There's a reason why they all filed on the 12th or 13th. And what is their punishment? A slap on the wrist and, oh, $200. It should be like you paid your taxes late, right? Like, it should be like what the rest of us have to deal with. So they should have to, it should be like $200, and then it accrues interest every single day. And even if you pay what you're supposed to get when you get the bill, they keep accruing interest until they get the check, and then you wind up owing like $11. And until you pay that $11, that's accruing interest, and you have to like give them $15 just in case. That's what should happen here. This to me is absolutely egregious, but they are above the law. They don't live by the same laws that the rest of us do. And when people on the left go, that's whataboutism. Whenever you compare like Trump to Hillary or anything like that, they go, that's whataboutism. Like, there's something wrong with that. I'm like, no. It's just pointing out the two-tiered system of justice in this country. That's not whataboutism. And you should not want to be on the bottom rung of that. All right, coming up, the Getter CEO, Jason Miller, with us to talk about censorship before the midterms on the Todd Starnes Show. Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes at the Liberty University Studios. This next guest is, we're going to talk about something that I think everybody needs to pay attention to because social media is a part of so many of our lives. I'd like to welcome Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter, to the show here. He's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jason, thank you so much for joining me. It's always great to talk to you.
Mayor, great to be on.
So I have to tell you something before we go into this, because the funny thing is before I knew we had you, I pulled the story to talk about. So this just happened to work out beautifully. So, you know, I tell people I have a podcast and I do it on Thursdays on YouTube and Getter. Last night, when we did our podcast last night, 7:15, I had almost 500 views on Getter live and like 20 on YouTube. It's insane. It's just be turning into such a wonderful medium, and I think that speaks a lot to what you have created with Getter. And so I just wanted to say congratulations to you, and thank you for allowing me to be doing the live podcasts on Getter, because it's just, the response has been amazing.
Well, thank you, and it's great to hear that you're building a large audience, because this is the thing with Getter, is that we're actually making social media fun again. It's a great environment you can go to where you can have excellent exchanges with people, you can debate the tough issues, but people are more respectful. It's not chock full of bots like it is with Twitter, for example, and it's not full of negativity and hate all the time. And so it's a much different feeling. I actually wake up and I'm looking forward to opening up Getter, where I do my best to not look at Twitter ever, because I could literally go and say, hey, it's sunny outside. And there'd be 50 different, you know, and it's like Steve 2510 saying, you know, you're an agent of the Russians or something. What?
It's so true. Twitter is just such a cesspool. Although I do have to say, sometimes I like to engage in a battle of the wits with stupid people, you know, because they come unarmed. So like on a Friday with a beer, it's a nice little diversion. But I just want to say thank you for that. I will tell you why I have you on the air. If you could get the comments from Getter to transfer into StreamYard so I could bring them up on my StreamYard on the screen, that would be great. That's just,
you know,
my
what?
One
that
thing.
Is a great idea. I will ping the engineers right when we get off the line.
Because I can do it on YouTube, but only the YouTube comments go up on the screen. I have to read the Getter comments. So I would like to put them up on the screen, too. you're so sweet, by the way. Thank you for appeasing me. I appreciate that. So let's talk about what's happening with Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, the usual suspects. I saw this story that they have now assured us, because Meta, it's called Meta now. It's not Facebook anymore. It's Meta. They're Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. They are now pledging to keep the midterm elections safe from misinformation. Haven't we been down this road before, and did it not work out well?
You know, it almost sounds like 2020. And with the, you know, we knew that this was going to happen because I think it was late last year, early this year, Meta announced that they were increasing their global anti-misinformation board with regard to Facebook. And this was before they did the whole name change. And, of course, they name-check countries like the Philippines and France and Colombia and Brazil and, of course, the U.S. with the midterm elections. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why would they be worried about these countries? Oh, that's right, because they have elections. They want to make sure they can put their foot on the scale like they did the last go-around. Well, now they're looking ahead to what they're going to do with regard to 2022. And here's the thing. All you have to point to is what happened with the Hunter Biden laptop. They suppressed that story. They got their allies in the media to suppress it. Joe Biden wins, what was it, 44,000 votes split over three states was what the final certified tally was. And now we're dealing with a crisis at the southern border, inflation, China's on the move, Russia's on the move. All because if people had known about the Hunter Biden story and the Biden family's business dealings, we probably wouldn't be in some of these messes.
Exactly. So, but if I remember correctly, wasn't Mark Zuckerberg testifying in front of Congress about what they did and made all sorts of promises about, we're not going to do that again. Sorry, our bad. We didn't mean to, blah, blah, blah. How come they're doing it again? It seems like they're doing exactly what they said they weren't going to do.
Right. Well, and I think part of it, too, is once they deplatformed President Trump, then we're really kind of in the unencumbered end of the internet stage of what they feel that they can do and get away with. If you can get away with deplatforming a sitting president of the United States, and let's not forget, I mean, obviously this isn't Meta, this is Twitter. I mean, on Twitter, for example, they allow the Taliban, the Ayatollah, the political director from Hamas, Once they realize that these companies can kick off a sitting president but do anything else, leave anyone else up there, they don't worry anymore. They don't look over their shoulder like, hey, we're never going to have as big of a backlash. There wasn't a backlash, so you know what? We're just going to go and try to shape the world as we see it.
So it's just mind-blowing to me. But I do think that there is a sort of a backlash because now there are alternatives like Getter that are out there. Unfortunately, I think those on the left view Getter as, you know, it's right wing, you know, it's all the Nazis are hanging out over there. And I think we're seeing that divide, which I don't think is good, that, you know, there are certain media outlets like CNN, MSNBC, mainstream media, that's considered left media. And, you know, Newsmax, Fox is considered more right television media. And everybody just kind of accepts that. So you go to your corner. Is the same thing happening with social media?
You know, I think with social media, that might be on the surface, that might be it. But what I think we're starting to see is an awakening where people are starting to make a choice, not so much on, say, a political ideological basis, but whether on a more of a freedom ideological basis. And people are starting to wake up, and whether it's has something to do with they oppose government mandates or they oppose draconian lockdowns or all the different aspects of these progressive governments becoming more authoritarian regimes, you have a lot of people who say, you know what, I've never even had an issue with social media and getting kicked off, but I don't like the idea that you can have free speech in some places but not others. So I'm just going to go to a place that embraces it all the time. And we're starting to see a lot of people who aren't even inherently political that are coming together and saying, you know what, I just like the fact that it's free, that there aren't these draconian political censorship aspects to the platform, and we're going to bring our friends.
So what are you doing? If somebody on Getter posts, a flat out lie about, say, like the voting hours, this is when you have to go to vote, or the wrong day on purpose, try to get people to not show up at the polls. And it's clear that that's what they're doing. Do you censor that, or does that stay up and people make their own decisions?
So if it's something that goes to, say, self-harm, if somebody posts on there, you can cure COVID by cutting off your left hand, or something where it's very clearly could lead to, or, you know, chug a gallon of gasoline or something of that nature, something goes to self-harm, then, of course, that's something that would violate our terms of service, and that comes down. If it's something that just flat out with regard to, say, people try to say election day is Wednesday instead of Tuesday, obviously that'd be the kind of thing to violate our terms of service. But you're allowed to have your own opinion about what candidates you support, what issues you back, what you believe the health care and the medical safety that's best for you and for your family. You're allowed to go and express that without the government censors coming in and beating up on you. So we have kind of our North Star, which is always how are we making sure that people can express themselves the most without coming in and essentially trying to interfere with what they're saying. And that's always kind of our guiding thing, kind of the lens in which we look through everything.
Am I the only person who finds it just weird? I mean, when you said, you know, like if someone posts that if you cut off your left arm, you know, it cures COVID, that there are actually people who would go out there and do that, that we have to keep them safe. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that might be a little bit of a Darwinism thing there. Like, do I really have to censor that because you're really going to cut off your left arm to cure COVID?
Right. Well, you know, that's a point. Now, look, if you're taking your medical advice from random people that you've heard online,
right,
and before you go and talk to your doctor, then you probably have some bigger issues. But, you know, I tell you, the one thing that I found to really be a completely misconstrued fake news coming from the left of center media, the aspect of fake news on the internet. And of course, people post memes, they post parodies, but we watch this stuff pretty closely to make sure that, say, for example, someone's not saying that there's a, the election day is on the wrong day, or that there's a current active shooter situation when there isn't, or something of that mm-hmm. nature. So we watch things pretty closely, or, you know, just the various things that the left always says that center-right folks are full of on social media, and we just don't see it. I think a lot of these things with regard to the fake news is really when you take a look at CNN or the New York Times or the Washington Post or even other social media platforms that shut down any debate over things like the Hunter Biden laptop. That's where the fake news is. And it's almost one of those, I guess you'd call it projecting. I don't know. I didn't mm-hmm. take psychology when I was in college. But I guess that'd be a projecting where they call everyone else fake news. And it's like, well, actually, guys, you're the fake news.
Well, the left, I find, always does, always, they're always doing what they accuse you of doing. You know, that's their tell. If they're accusing you, like, if they're accusing you of cheating on your wife, that's probably because they are. It's one of those things. Yeah, that's how I view them. So the bottom line here is that we're going to see 2022 part two as far as Facebook, Twitter, etc., because they got away with it with swinging the election to Biden with their quote unquote clampdown on misinformation. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. Congress can't do anything about this, right?
No, and this is ultimately where I think the free market is what's going to emerge, and people are going to look and make their own decisions about, wait a minute, do I want to be in this draconian, statist, authoritarian lockdown regime that is Twitter or Facebook or even as we start seeing with Instagram and TikTok, or do we want to embrace freedom? Do we want to make sure that people can express themselves, that there isn't going to be a nanny state censor mechanism that's going to be watching over everything and trying to pick winners and losers, saying if you're left to center, you have unbridled free speech. If you're center right, then all of a sudden you're shut down. And I think people are going to make the best decision. If we wait around for Congress to go and fix something, first of all, Congress makes it worse half the time. Yes. Or if we wait around for the courts, well, courts don't always act fast. You could be waiting for years.
Yeah. One other quick question. Trump running in 24?
I still think President Trump runs. I think after this really unprecedented FBI raid that I know you've been talking about quite a bit, where, I mean, I've just never seen anything like this. I think he's almost assuredly running in 2024. I don't think that there'll be any sort of announcement before the midterms. I think he probably waits until later in the fall, maybe even early part of next year. You know, I was one of the allies that was pushing him very strongly to announce, but that was in part to go and galvanize the Republican base, make sure people are pointed in the same direction. But I think the FBI raid really did that for him, so I don't think he has to go out there and do that right now.
It is amazing. They keep trying to take this man down. They've been trying since 2015 when he came down that escalator. And it is amazing. They've got the man. They're looking for the crime. And they just won't quit. And he keeps winning at every turn. Every time they try, he comes out on top. You'd think they would learn. Jason Miller, thank you so much. He's the CEO of Getter. And I'm telling you, I think Getter is a great platform. And you can catch my podcast on Thursdays at 7:15 p.m. Eastern. Just look for Mary Walter, because I actually got my name, which makes me happy, too. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thanks, Mary.
844-747-8868 is my number. Coming up, we're going to talk about some education. Yeah, education in the news. A lot of parents are worried, especially as we're getting back to school, about what their kids are going to be learning and not learning in the classroom. That is coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Walter sitting in the Liberty University studios for Todd Starnes. Todd's back with you on Monday. And I just want to tell you that now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use the promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers that other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and our first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. So simple. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using the promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right, let's talk a little bit about some education, shall we? I think that that's an important thing to discuss. And we'll take this over into the next hour as well. But the Biden administration, they're slowly but surely canceling all this student loan debt. Here's the latest. Earlier this week on Tuesday, the Biden administration announced that borrowers who have federal student loans for the former ITT Technical Institute, you see their commercials all the time on TV, those people are going to have their student loans forgiven. The Education Department stated this is happening because the college misrepresented the value of their own programs, according to the AP. Former students are protected under the Federal Borrower Defense Rule, established to protect against false advertising and fraud. Here's the thing. If you're loaning money to someone because they want to get an education or buy a house or any of those things, does this mean that if you bought a house and the previous owners didn't disclose the lead pipes or didn't disclose the oil tank in the backyard or fill in the blank, whatever, the bad roof, and your inspector didn't catch it, does that mean that taxpayers should pay your mortgage for you? Because that's what they're saying here. It's not their fault that ITT Tech misrepresented themselves. So taxpayers somehow wind up footing the bill. People who never went to college, people who repaid their student loans, we're the ones who are going to pay for this. And this can be expanded to anything. Like I said, what about mortgages? What about car loans? I got a loan to buy a car. It turns out to be a lemon. Oh, the car's a lemon. I've had cars that are lemons. Whew, I'll tell you. But, you know, I still had to keep making my car payments because the bank didn't really care that I made a poor choice in buying a car, that I made a bad decision. That was on me. I had to repay my loan. Nobody came along and said to my neighbors who made better choices in cars or don't have cars would have to pay for my car. All ITT technical students as far back as 2005 will have their federal student loan debt canceled. This forgiveness, which means just passing the cost, it's not forgiveness. They're getting off the hook and we're being put on the hook. It impacts 208,000 borrowers and passes the $3.9 billion bill to taxpayers. How much money did these people borrow? 208,000 borrowers, and it's costing $3.9 billion that we're going to pick up. You and I are going to pay for. I don't know. It hardly seems fair to me. If you want to jump in, 844-747-8868. I paid off my student loan. 10 years I paid that puppy off. Every single month, whether I had a job or not, I had to pay that bill. So, this is a drop in the bucket. Biden is not going to make a pass a big sweeping bill because he knows it's not. He's not going to give an executive order. It's not even a bill that's passing through Congress. It's an executive order that he's going to do. But he's not going to do it right away because he knows it's unpopular. So it's the drip, 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 just like they did with the Green New Deal. Drip, drip, drip. More on education coming up next on the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I am Mary Walter in the Liberty University studio sitting in for Todd Starnes. Todd taking a well-deserved three-day weekend. He will be back with you on Monday. All right, let's talk about your kids' schools. Shall we? 844-747-8868 is my number. So I was telling you that the Biden administration canceled this student loan debt. $3.9 billion of your tax dollars you're now going to have to pay to pay off the debts of former ITT Technical Institute students as far back as 2005, because apparently ITT Tech lied about their, according to the government, you know, what you can expect from their program. They misrepresented the value of their programs. A lot of people misrepresent the value of stuff. Caveat emptor. Remember that? There was an entire Brady Bunch episode on caveat emptor. Caveat emptor, Greg. Am I the only person who remembers that? Because I'm old. Although I have to tell you, my nieces loved the Brady Bunch because we got them the first season on DVD for Christmas one year. And then the following year, I was taking my daughter out to the mall and she could buy, you know, I gave her so much money and she could buy what she wanted. And she chose to buy more of the Brady Bunch for the family so she could share because everybody liked it. So they all wound up. So now they get my jokes when I say, "Ooh, my nose!" Like they get it, which is great. And you can learn every life lesson from an episode of The Brady Bunch. So caveat emptor. Okay. I want to know if you could, would you take your kid out of public school? Maybe you've done it. And what did you do? Homeschool? Did you put them in a charter school, a private school, a Catholic school, or another type of religious school? Something along those lines. 844-747-8868. And why? And I'm curious how many parents are just now waking up to what has been going on in our schools. And I say just now because I don't have kids, but my husband and I vote in every school board election. We vote in every school board election because we're paying for it and we're getting Zippo back from that system. So I always vote in the school board elections because this person, whoever gets on that school board, is going to be deciding, you know, the next generation, what they know and what they don't know, number one. But those people are going to be paying taxes, hopefully, down the road. So hopefully they're going to come out of school and not be total morons. So smarter than the hosts on The View. Let's make the bar low. Because across the country, in the light of the pandemic, which was a gift in the sense that parents woke up to what their kids were being taught in school. And I get it. You know, mom's working, dad's working, you don't have time. It's a tough thing. So parents are not up on what their kids are learning. Arizona, the state, has pioneered policies that expand school choice, including education savings accounts, state-backed private school scholarships, a growing charter school sector, and a thriving open enrollment policy. They are leading the country as far as school choice. Arizona is. Last month, Governor Doug Ducey in Arizona signed a massive expansion of the state's private voucher system. So they expanded it. I think that's great. The expansion lets every parent in Arizona take the money that the state sends to the 12 through K public school system and use it for their school's tuition or other educational costs. All 1.1 million Arizona students who attend traditional public schools qualify to leave their public school and get money to go to a private one. An estimated 60,000 private school students and about 38,000 homeschooled children are immediately eligible to take up to $7,000 per year. Great. I think that that's important. The money belongs to the student. The money is to educate the student, not prop up the government-run school system. That's the difference. So I love that. Let's see, in 1991, Wisconsin became the first state to create a modern school voucher program. That same year, Minnesota became the first state to create a law allowing charter schools. Last year alone, 19 states enacted 32 new or expanded school choice policies, a total now of 21 states and Washington, D.C., which is probably the most liberal place in this country. And I hated living there for the 3 years that I was there. Blew, it was horrible. They offer school choice programs that give parents financial assistance and private school options. There are currently about 77 charter schools in the U.S. They serve about 3.6 million students. 45 states and D.C. have passed laws allowing for the creation of charter schools. And the number of students attending charter schools in this country has more than doubled in the last 10 years. There are about 4,000 magnet schools operating in the country. 30 states now offer programs that make scholarship money or tuition assistance available to families who want to send their kids to private school. Curious to find out if you've taken advantage of any of this and why. Why did you pull your kid out of public school? I mean, my parents, when I was a kid growing up, they moved where they moved because I was going in, you know, I was in the school system. I was going to move there for second grade. And my parents wanted to get us into a good school system. And they did. They picked up and they moved. Because that's what you used to do. Because in this country, you're assigned to the school system based on your zip code. Maybe that's not the best thing. 844-747-8868. Sorry about that. So here's one of the reasons you pull kids out of school. The NJEA is the New Jersey chapter of the National Education Association, and the NEA being the largest teachers union in America. And boy, did they get gutsy during COVID. The administration actually got together with Ryan Weingarten, the head of the NJEA, and allowed them to make policies on how the kids were going to be in school. Nobody else, like, if they have to wear a mask during, you know, because of COVID. Well, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that were sent to schools to sanitize them, to put new air filtration systems in, blah, blah, blah. And then the teachers turned around and go, we don't feel safe, so we're not going back to school. You know, the administration allowed the union to dictate national policy and how taxpayer dollars would be spent. That is outrageous, especially when you hear something like this. The NJEA posted a short ad on YouTube. It's only about 30 seconds long. And so when they're talking about teachers and students, it's color and it's beautiful and there's birds and fields and all this other stuff. When they talk about parents, it's black and white. All right. And they're they're pictures of people yelling and things like that. So just so you get that picture in your head and listen to this ad from the NJEA.
We don't agree on everything in New Jersey, but we all agree that our kids deserve a world-class education. So when extremists start attacking our schools, that's not who we are. People who only want to fight to score political points should take that somewhere else.
So the pictures of extremists, it's pictures of parents, you know, holding signs about their kids in school. And it's black and white. The parents look angry and they're yelling. So they call the parents extremists. But New Jersey's a very, very blue state. It wouldn't be as blue if, you know, the national GOP had gone in and helped Jack Cittarelli when he could have used the help, but they chose not to. So, you know, because we don't have money. They got Governor Murphy for another term. They call parents extremists just because they stand up for their children. And that's more the demonization of parents who want to take their kids out of public schools. New Jersey will never happen. It'll never happen where they, you know, the money can follow the kid. California, right? Governor Newsom's kid goes to private school and his kid was in school. His kids were in school while public schools were shut down for everyone else. And that was not lost on most people, except the far left, who apparently don't know anything about this. They're making it, and it said this woman, Laura Zork, is the executive director of Building Education for Students Together. And she did an interview with the Daily Caller, and she said, standing up for your children is not a political point. It's a parent's responsibility. And the NJEA should be ashamed for pretending that they care more about children than their parents do, because they don't care about your children. I don't think they do. All teachers know. I think there are some teachers who are great. Before you write that email telling me I'm wrong, I think there are a lot of individual teachers who are great, and they don't want to join the union. They're forced to join the union. They don't want any part of it. But I think there are others, and I think the union and the leadership of the union doesn't care about your kids. If they did, they wouldn't be insisting on masks on two-year-olds in order to give them an education. And they would be actually teaching them how to read and write and do math instead of encouraging them to change their gender because they're, you know, in kindergarten. And today I'm a boy. And oh, okay, you're a boy. Here, take these drugs. And don't tell mommy. That's not education. 844-747-8868 if you want to jump in. In Florida, meanwhile, Governor DeSantis is proposing bonuses for retired police officers to fill vacant teacher positions because we don't have enough teachers. Who would want to be a teacher? Have you seen, if you go on Twitter, if you follow Libs of TikTok, there is an amazing number of teachers, very young. They all have purple or green or pink or blue hair, one of those four colors. They look like... They dropped out of clown college, and they're all talking about their gender identity and how they share it with their kids. I didn't even know my teacher's first name when I was in elementary school, when I was in grade school. I knew it was Mr. or Miss or Mrs., but that was as far as it goes. I didn't know they had first names, let alone what their gender was or what their sexual preferences were. When did that become education? So Governor DeSantis, there's now a shortage of teachers. And so now he's offering bonuses for people to join the teaching profession for 2 years as full-time classroom teachers. They have to have a bachelor's degree, and they're waiving the certificate exam fees for vets and first responders. They're going to waive those fees. I think it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. you know. So, all right. So your thought on whether you have taken your kids out. Would you take your kids out? And I've got more coming up on how do you battle indoctrination of your kids in school? Anybody? How do you battle that indoctrination of your kids in school? Are you bothering to try to do that? 844-747-8868. I had a conversation with, we were on vacation with people who have a house next to the house that we go to. And they've got a 16-year-old daughter. And I think she got her driver's license. And in their state, you have to put down your political party, political affiliation for some dumb reason. So she chose socialist. And her mother's like, wait, you chose what? She goes, socialist? She's 16. And her mom's like, oh, she's 16. She doesn't know anything. And I'm like, yeah, she's going to be 17. And in 2 years, she's voting. You might want to stop that now. You might want to, you know, counter that indoctrination that she's getting. And she wants to go to, you know, I think she wants to go to New York State schools, to SUNY, the State University of New York schools. I'm like, she's going to come out a card-carrying Marxist if you don't jump on this now. I'm curious how parents are dealing with that. You know, when your kid comes home from college and you're like, wait, what did you just say? And they're like, no, Bernie Sanders is great. I'll get your calls coming up on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome to the Todd Starn Show. If you are just joining us, well, where have you been? Really, we've been having a great show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in the Liberty University studios. 844-747-8868 is my number. And I want to talk to you about our friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. His products are so amazing. I know you hear Grace talk about them all the time. Todd talks about them all the time. But I am also very familiar with Mike Lindell and his products. And I just love them. I tried to buy the slippers and they were gone in my size. I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh man, I felt like I missed out. And I'm watching them on TV saying they're gone. I'm like, ah, I missed the slippers. But what about the towels, right? It is so hard to find a really good absorbent towel. It's really hard to find them. Well, Mike Lindell's towels are soft. They feel lotiony, but like the towels in the store, they don't dry you, right? They feel great, but they don't dry you. Well, you know what? He set out to change towels forever. And that's what he's done. He has found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology and they create towels that feel soft, but they actually really absorb the water off your body. They're made with cotton grown right here in the US and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money back guarantee. Now, we get the sets. You got to get the sets. I'm a big fan of the sets. You're like, oh, I don't need that many face cloths. I don't need many hand towels. Trust me. Something's going to happen. One of your guests is going to go home with one of them. One of your kids is going to use them for something they're not supposed to use them for. Always good to have extras. So you can get the 6-piece set, which is 2 bath, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths. They're regularly $109.99. They're just $39.99 right now. That's an incredible savings. As someone who just bought towels, well, probably about 6 months ago, that's a great savings. I wish I could go back and do it now. just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials. You'll find the towels in the Radio Listener's Special Square, and there are tons of deep discounts there on all of his products. You get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products there, including the towels, but make sure you enter the promo code Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. You can also call 1-800-839-8506, 1-800-839-8506. For all of these great radio specials, use the promo code Starnes. Okay. Northern Kansas City school system has announced that they have some new enforcement procedures to limit cell phone use at school. The district has stated that from 7:43 a.m. to 2:40 p.m., student cell phone use is prohibited during class time from bell to bell. Cell phones are only to be used before or after school, during a passing period, or during lunch. Because they say that student cell phone use at school has been identified as a tremendous distraction, and while the deployment of district-issued MacBooks, cell phones are now unnecessary for academics throughout the school day. I think this is a great idea, and I think it goes to the home as well and getting your kids off social media. I want to talk to you. Tom Holland is the actor who plays Spider-Man. And he just came out and made an announcement about leaving social media. And I think a step like this helps take your kid away from the constantly having their head in the phone. Here's Tom Holland.
Hi, guys. So I've been trying to make this video for about an hour now. And for someone that has spent the last, I don't know, 13, 14 years, however long I've been acting. Is it that long? Yeah, it probably is that long. I cannot seem to say what I need to say without umming and ahhing every 5 minutes. So I'm going to try again. So, I have taken a break from social media for my mental health, because I find Instagram and Twitter to be overstimulating, to be overwhelming. I get caught up and I spiral when I read things about me online. And ultimately, it's very detrimental to my mental state. So I decided to take a step back and delete the app.
That's fantastic. I think it's a great message for kids. I really do, because they have their heads in the phone all the time. All the time. I know adults who have their head in the phone all the time. So I love this idea. I'm curious if you like it. 844-747-8868. And the stuff that you leave online, your digital footprint is just incredible. And there's also a study out that's finding, comes out of Australia, that millennial parents don't know how to limit their kids' screen time, because they're the first generation that's had to worry about limiting their kids' screen time. And so there's no blueprint to it. And they're having a hard time with that. And I thought that was just so interesting that they're having a hard time limiting their kids' screen time. So if you want to come up with any hints, want to share them with us, 844-747-8868 is the number if you would like to share that with us. Coming up, I want to talk about another family issue, dinner time. Do you have family dinner time? Because if you do, you're in the minority. And I think that is a terrible thing. And we're going to talk about that coming up on The Todd Starn Show. Sitting in the Liberty University studios for Todd Starnes. Yeah. 844-747-8868 is my number, and we're talking about schools and your kids, and there's something I want to talk about regarding family dinner, and curious to find out if you still have family dinner. Do you get to eat together? Did you do, maybe it's your grandkids? Do your grandkids do that with their families? Your kids do that with their children? And how important do you think it is? Maybe you don't think it's at all important, but I'd like to hear from you on it. But first, let's go to Salem, Oregon on KYKN. It's Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I was calling about, I don't think we should be crying about Dr. Oz not getting enough money, and he needs to get out there on the stump and talk to the people, maybe get hold of Trump and hold a few rallies. But there's so much that they can talk about. In essence, the Democrats and Biden administration have declared war on the American citizen by pushing this new green nightmare on us, and saying we have to get off of oil and energy and diesel when they don't even have the electric up to snuff. I got some texts. I'm in Oregon. I got a text out of California saying I need to cut back on my energy usage because of the heat and to turn up the AC to down to like 80 or 82. And I so why are they even texting me? Maybe because I have a piece of desert down there, and that's it. And I 2.5 acres of Mojave Desert. You know what? But anyway, so these guys are just off the chain. And there's so much, they've pushed the oil prices up. There's been a little decrease because they're giving away our energy reserves.
Strategic reserves,
Strategic reserves, so, yeah. And so, they declared war on parents because they're terrorists. They're terrorists, so we got to watch out for them. Conservatives are more dangerous than Al Qaeda. No, what the hell? Get out there and talk to the people in Pennsylvania. Get on the stump And don't worry about not having enough money. I think if you create enough ruckus and talk about what, and talk to the independents, and if there's a few Democrats that haven't joined the Socialist Communist Party, talk to them, because I think they don't even know that their party's been taken over by the Socialist Communists.
You know, you make a good point, and what he's referring to is we spoke with a congressman out of Pennsylvania earlier in the show, and I asked him, you know, what is going on with Dr. Oz? Like, he's really, he didn't say that he's a bad candidate. He's not going to say that, but let's face it, Dr. Oz is not a great candidate. Everyone knows his name, and honestly, that goes a long way. It truly does, because there's a lot of people who just vote for the name they recognize, which is shocking to me, and I don't think those people should be allowed to vote, but that's a different topic. But he gets in these shouting matches with Fetterman, and he's allowing Fetterman to drag him down. And instead of being proactive, he's being reactive to Fetterman. So to your point, I think he should just ignore all these tweets and comments from Fetterman. Don't give them any, don't respond. It's like a Twitter troll. Once you respond to them, you give them some kind of recognition. Don't do it. And Oz should be setting his own agenda. But this congressman had said that we should, you know, they don't have enough money. The National doesn't have enough money. Democrats are out raising us as far as money goes, out fundraising us as far as money goes. And I said to him, wait a minute, stop telling me to send you money. How about you guys just not lose an election that you should win? People don't like to give money to a losing party that sits and hoards the money. And they did it. They could have had California. They could have had New Jersey. They could have had the governorship in New Jersey. And they gave Jack Cittarelli zero help, and that's what happens. And then they said, yeah, well, we knew he could. They just write off these states and say, yeah, well, we didn't think he could win anyway. Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you don't give someone the tools that they need to win in a certain state. So you're kind of left on your own, and that's what I think they're doing with Oz, and I think it's really, really bad. So you make a phenomenal point. Thank you. Appreciate you joining us. Have a great weekend. 844-747-8868. If you want to talk about anything we talked about previously, feel free. We've got some time here in the last half hour. But I wanted to bring up family dinner, because 3 in 5 Americans believe that every dinner should be a family dinner. But a new poll found that the average person says they only get to spend 3 dinners out of the week with their family. The average person when they were younger recalled eating 4 dinners a week with family and another 2 dinners with others outside of their family circle when they were kids. But about 50%, nearly half the poll, 49%, say having a family dinner together is an important way to connect over a meal. Shared dinners were also good for making memories. 46% of people said that, learning more about their family, and also continuing family traditions. And when I was a kid, man, we always had every dinner together. Sport, it didn't matter. Sports, whatever it happened to be, we had every meal together. And it was a great time. My parents would ask about what we were learning in school. It's a great, maybe some parents wouldn't have been surprised to find out what their kids were learning in school during the pandemic if they had had some more family dinners together and talked to their kids about what was going on in school. We didn't have personal devices back then, again, because I'm ancient, but TV was not allowed to be on. The TV was in another room, but depending on where you sat, you could see into the TV, was not allowed. If the phone rang when we were having dinner, you weren't allowed to answer it. And when I was really young, there was no answering machine. So you just had to sit and wonder who it was. Like, was it important? You didn't know. You had no idea. My father would say, if it's important, they'll call back. And that was the attitude, because dinner time was sacrosanct in our house. And, my parents asked all sorts of questions. I vividly remember, like, my parents quizzing me. You know, they would quiz us on all the counties in our state. And then when we got good at that, we had to name them in alphabetical order. You know, just fun. It was always something that they had to ask us. And I know my brother, when he was bringing up his kids, they did the same thing. And I know that was considered really old-fashioned for the time. But, you know, his kids had no cell phones or anything like that at the table, no TV, but they had cards. It was like a game that they had in the middle of the table to stimulate conversation, and they talked. And I just think that is so important. 844-747-6686 is my number. Let's go to Doug. I'm sorry, I missed Doug here. Doug from Nevada. I'm sorry, on the Nevada Talk Network. Doug, Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I am so sorry I missed your call. I apologize for making you wait.
No problem, Mary. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. So go ahead. You wanted to talk about kids and education, exactly what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, we've got four kids. One's newborn, so he's not in school yet. But what you were talking about earlier, how, you know, deciding whether or not you want your kids in public school or a charter school or want you, you know, you want a home school, especially with everything happening today and all the indoctrination that's, you know, the money that goes into the school system doesn't go to the kids.
Right.
And why that's an issue for us. And we're younger parents, we're millennial parents, so it definitely is a challenge in its own way, because we would love to homeschool if we could, but we both work. And,
right,
you know, so the idea of, you know, figuring out how we would go about doing that is definitely a challenge that we've decided we can't overcome. But what we have decided to do, you know, they still go to public school, but like you said, as far as dinners are concerned, we have at least three dinners at the table every day so that we can talk about how their day was, what school was like. And, you know, that goes from social issues like, you know, maybe they're getting bullied or they, you know, have a falling out with a friend, or maybe a relationship with a teacher is kind of awkward, all the way up into and including, at least we feel like is very important, that we talk about what's happening today. And, you know, we're big about, we don't want to tell them what to think, but, you know, teach them how to think. Critical thinking skills, you know, figure out what's important to you, what matters to you, what matters to us as a family. And that way, regardless of what teachers try to pull or, you know, you know, what they might read in one of these new age woke books, you know, they can sort that out from themselves, and they have the mental tools and faculties to get through the day without feeling uncomfortable, without feeling pressured. And then if they have to talk to us about it, then they have that option.
I love that. You know, my brother-in-law was brilliant when he was raising his kids. One of the things that they did every 4th of July, they read the Declaration of Independence. That was a 4th of July tradition he did every year with his kids, even when they thought it was hokey. Now they think it's cool. But he would, if they were sitting around, they go, "Dad, can you bring me a cookie or whatever?" He would bring it, but it always had a bite out of it. And they're like, what did you do? You ate my cookie. He said, "That's a tax." So the kids grew up knowing what a tax was, because they would say, "What do you mean it's a tax?" And he explained to them, "A tax is when the government takes some of my money. So I'm taxing you because I pay for the lights, I pay for everything. So I'm taxing you by taking a bite out of your cookie." And they rapidly caught on to what a tax is. So there's lots of ways to be creative and teach your kids. I just have a quick question for you. This study out of Australia says that parents your age are having a hard time handling your kids' screen time. And they find that conversation leads to a lot of fights in households. How are you handling it?
Yeah, that is, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, because, you know, we grew up in the 90s, so, you know, phones were new. We had our Nokia brick phones, and, you know, we've got to grow up with the development of it. And now that these kids, they've, you know, they're 16 and they've already got phones, and it's definitely a challenge. They do spend more time on their computers and their video games than we ever did, which we do feel like is always an issue that we want to address. Sometimes we don't have the energy for it, and we let them do what they're doing. Sometimes, you know, we put our foot down, we say, "No, you're going to go outside, or I'll take the boys out with me. We're going to go mow the lawn. I'm going to teach you guys some actual skills." And usually we have a great time when they put their phones down and we actually go outside and do something. I think personally it's about engagement a lot of the time. They're usually excited for me to say, "Let's go do something together that doesn't involve your screen."
Yeah, I love it. Kids want that. I think that is so true. And they'll say, no, I'm doing it with my friends. But once, if you insist and you get them out of it, and they wind up having a good time. It's just that when they say no and they push back, they're just being kids. That's what they do. You know, it's their job. They're annoying, horrible little creatures for you know, there's probably like a 5 to 8 year span in there, maybe a little bit more, where you really want, you understand why fish eat their young. But you know, my mother used to say that to us all the time. But once you get them engaged, you're so right. So it sounds like you guys are handling it, I guess, as best you can, because you are the trailblazers as far as parenting goes with that. Thank you so much, Doug. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mary. You as well.
Thank you. 844-747-8868 is my number if you would like to join me here on the Todd Starn Show. Walter, sitting in the Liberty University studios for Todd Starnes. Todd is back with you on Monday. 844-747-8868 is my number. Don't forget, I will be on the Sean Spicer Show today on Newsmax between around from 5:30 to 6 Eastern time. Okay, so 5:30 to 6 Eastern time, I'll be doing a hit, you know, like talking about news of the day, the FBI raid, that kind of stuff. And then we have the company quiz, which they do on Fridays. And I am convinced the only reason they keep inviting me back on Fridays for the company quiz is because I'm awful at it. I'm horrible at it. And so they just invite me on because I'm an easy mark and so somebody else can win. It's hard. It's really hard. And they ask really weird, bizarre, foreign questions. You get like 5 seconds to answer and that's it. But it's fun. So that's today. Monday, I'm usually on the Chris Salcedo Show at 4:45. They moved all the shows around, so I have all the old times in my head. So 4:45 is usually when I'm on with Michael Reagan. It's Mike and Mary on Mondays on the Chris Salcedo Show. And don't forget, Thursdays, if you go to YouTube, you look for Mary Walter Radio. My podcast is there. We just put a new podcast up last night. It airs on Thursdays at 7:15 p.m. Eastern. And if you're on Getter, it is there as well. Just look for Mary Walter. I got my actual name on Getter, so I didn't have to put Mary Walter Radio, which was great. And, you know, subscribe to the channel and YouTube. We'd appreciate it. If you... I just want to do some news roundups here. California is becoming the first state to provide free meals to all students. And starting this year, with the 22-23 school year, the governor, Gavin Newsom, signed into law legislation that establishes a universal meal program. So under this law, all kindergarten through 12th grade public schools have to provide two free meals, breakfast and lunch, during each school day to students who ask for it, regardless of whether they are eligible for free or reduced priced meals. Doesn't matter how much mommy and daddy make, if you ask for a free meal, they're going to give it to you. And they're doing this because they found that some kids who are eligible don't participate in the program because they're embarrassed, they're ashamed, and so this way no one knows. But here's my question. If you qualify for free food in school or reduced rate, and especially for free, I would assume that you're on some kind of social program. Your family also qualifies for food stamps or something along those lines. So if your parents aren't using the money to buy you food for dinner or breakfast or lunch or something like that in order to feed you, do they cut, and the school is doing it, taxpayers are doing it instead, are we cutting back on the amount of money you're getting in the form of food stamps or welfare or whatever it happens to be, you know, WIC, whatever the program is, there's 10,000 of them, in order to help you supplement your income to buy food? Because if you're not buying in food for the kids with the money, and so much so that we got to feed your kids breakfast and lunch, you're responsible for one meal now, are we cutting back on the number, the amount of money we're giving you to buy those meals, to provide them for your kids? I think that's a really great question. And allowing kids who are wealthy, whose parents can afford it, to also participate, I think is just absolutely ridiculous. American psychologist Greg Matos wrote a piece in Psychology Today that the current state of middle and young and middle-aged men's love lives shows that they have a skills deficit. Apparently, they're awful communicators. They're terrible, horrible communicators. And because of that, dating apps are overrun with men, 62% of users. And men are also lonelier than ever because they say the standards of women's standards for dating are too high now. So there you go. Tell women to lower their standards and you'll get a guy. That's the way to sell it. I just laughed when I heard that. And lastly, Ladies, beginning in 2023, you can compete in the Miss Universe pageant because you no longer, they're rescinding their rules that you must be unmarried and cannot be a mother if you want to compete. Yeah, so parental status, marital status will no longer affect your eligibility. Mothers have historically been excluded. Winners have traditionally been expected not to become pregnant while reigning as Miss Universe. The current reigning Miss Universe says, it is about darn time. She said, I honestly love that this is happening. Just like society changes and women are now occupying leadership positions where in the past only men could, it was about time. Pageants changed and opened up to women with families. So she said, in the past, they thought this was sexist. So these were sexist views. So, ladies, yeah, get out the bathing suit, put on the self-tanner. We're competing. I'm Mary Welter. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to The Todd Starnes Show.